Our Father, we come to you again this morning and we thank you for this hour. Lord, thank you for this premises that the Word of God's been taught already from different levels of people here. Now we come to this time to open the precious Word of God again, the voice of God to our hearts until we see and hear ye verbally one of these days in the future. And we pray, we yield to the Spirit of God. Help us understand, learn more about you, that you'd be more real than the average person. Lord, God is not real to the average person in this world. They can be tossed to and fro. They can jump from here to there. Depend who they're talking to. But you want to know us personally, and through Jesus Christ that can happen. You have your word that you've taught about yourself to us. And I pray you'd honor yourself today through this frail body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. What I'd like to do for just a moment, if I could, give you a little bit of a visualization. If I would say to you, as you find that verse of Scripture, and I had recently looking out in the yard, I don't know if you've got these or not, but I'll tell you what, I've got a yard full of ants. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's a little molehill there, and a little molehill there, and here, and yonder, and everywhere else. I was thinking the other day, though, as I worked on this message, I was thinking, and also heard it this morning, my, I wonder what it would be like if those ants could get no further than the crust of the ground. They don't know what's happening in this world. Every one of their activities is under the ground. And somehow or another that I would be allowed to represent the human race as a human being compared to an ant. Certainly we're far more advanced. Amen? Compared to an ant, we're far, well, maybe some of you not, but I believe most of us are. Compared to an ant, we're far advanced. But let's suppose that I would have the journey been chosen to go into that hole where they say, in this area, they never come to the top now. Keep in mind, in your visual, you never had come to the top. All they know is what goes on underground in the thousands of ants in the little chambers that they have in their world. And I'd be able to leave this world, be chosen to leave this world, to go into that hole, to talk to them on their level, ever how they communicate. They don't communicate like you and I. They don't use words. It's an amazing thing. When you think about man in God's image, we're the only creature other than animals we know of, or other than angels that we know of, can talk in words, in syllables, where we can understand. Our communication comes in words. We don't make sounds. We express words. And God communicates us this way. But if I would go to that ant hole and go into that hole, I'd have to get on their level, speak whatever sound ways they have to tell them about this life. It would almost be impossible, because just suppose I did go down into that hole and I began to try to tell them about this world. I mean, they would not be able to even begin to comprehend, even though they could visualize about this world, because it's so much gigantic compared to where they live at. But I'd go into that hole and I'd try my best to expound to them that there is a life beyond that life where they're at that's so much more advanced than what they have in that world. In other words, man is so much more advanced. I mean, you're talking about you moving little grains of sand here, which is a load for many ants. But in that world, they can move gigantic loads, thousands of pounds of dirt. In that land, you know, they are anywhere from 5 foot to 7 foot high. In that land where I'm telling about, where I came from, you see, it would be very hard, probably, to get across to them in their language just what this world is about. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you asleep? What I want you to see is this. That's what God did for us. God's Son left beyond this life, this life here that we see, with all that we've been able to see in our last 40 or 50 years, which is more than man's ever been able to see before, all that God has shown us in the last 40 or 50 years is nothing compared to that invisible world in the spiritual atmosphere where God Himself lives, who is a spirit. And God's Son came to this earth using the communication of words in a vocabulary that you and I could understand, at least to a point about that world that's beyond here. And though we never seen God, and though maybe not one of those ants had ever seen a man, they began to visualize a little bit about what man would be like by one who is there in their midst communicating with them at that particular time. And now you find they are visualizing, well, what is a man? I mean, I would be in the form of an ant here combined from this world trying to visualize or talk to them in their sound communication. But man is much bigger than the ant. And here I'm trying to explain something that they would not understand. Well, what God has been doing since He made Adam is explaining Himself in His Word in a vocabulary so you and I could get a glimpse that there's more to life than what we see here. And therefore, there's a channel of faith that we reach into or go through that we might see an invisible world that's a spiritual world where God Himself runs this universe. And by the way, He is running it. He's over it. Everything is on time. Everything is on schedule. And here we are trying our best, who have been born into the family of God, tell them about a God they cannot see, and many of those who name the name of Christ, trying to tell them about a God they cannot see, they don't even see that God in their lives. So therefore, we got a hindrance in the sense of what we are trying to say versus on what people are seeing when they see others say, oh yes, I know that Lord, I know that Christ, I know that God. Are you with me? It's sad, folks. Christians are caught in a trap today that no Christian ever had at least the fullness of in the past, because we have so much more today than we ever had in our lives. And we justify where we're at before the Lord. But before the world and before the Lord. But I want to say this to you this morning. There is a God in heaven. And we're going to stand before Him one day. If you're here and you're not saved while I finish this message, you will stand before Him one day. If you're here and you are saved, you are going to still stand before Him one day. You're going to stand before the bema seat of Christ. So we have to keep in mind, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking, even if we try to justify it, there's a God in heaven. He's beyond us. We do not dictate to Him. He tells us what He wants us to know. He tells us His program. He tells us His purpose. And He tells us if we're going to ever be involved with it, we got to line up with Him. He's never going to line up with us. Amen. Thank you, preacher. That's just the introduction. Now, I want you to turn with me to Daniel with me, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a few minutes as we look down a few verses. I think about the pastor. Kind of soften you up a little bit. Think about the pastor that got called for speeding. And he went to the court, and the judge stood before the judge, and the judge looked at him and said, sir, he said, do you have anything to say for yourself? He said, yes, sir, Judge, I sure do. He said, I admit that I was speeding. I throw myself on the mercy of the court. And I remind the judge that the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's what the Bible says. And the judge said, you're right, sir. You're exactly right. $50 fine. The Bible also says, go and sin no more. Well, I'm glad when the Lord tells us one side, He's showing us another side. And He warns us, and He also blesses us. But as you come to this verse 27 to verse 30 in Daniel chapter 2, here's the story about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He had a dream, and he forgot it. He called his wise men together, according to verse 2, and he says, tell me the dream and the interpretation. Now, you that are the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, all of the soothsayers, I want you to tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation of the dream. Well, they did exactly what most men would say. Well, they'd never heard anything like this before. If you look down a few verses, he said, by the way, in a case you don't tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation, you're going to die. Now, the king can say that. And by the way, what the king says is true. They're going to die. They say, king, this is unheard of. No one in their right mind would say such a thing as this. Now, you tell us what the dream is, and we'll interpret it for you. Well, I could do that. He said, no, I got better. I'm giving you Ennis' approach to this. He says, I know better than that. If I tell you the dream, you take a few days, and you come up with something. Well, if you're going to die, wouldn't you come up with something? I mean, what's the alternative? Telling him a lie or delirium, one or the other, and not knowing God. They didn't know God. Here they'd come up with some type of... He said, it's not going to work that particular way. Tell me the dream, and I shall know that you, in verse 9, can show me the interpretation. They said, not a man on earth can do that, king. Not another man can do that on earth. The only one can do that's the gods. And by the way, when he said that about those gods, it's a little G in verse 11. And then they begin to seek around and insult Daniel. And Daniel comes upon the scene. They ask, tell him what's going to happen. And they seek his help. I don't know why. Maybe they knew he was a godly man. He said, give me a little bit of time. He went to see as he gets through this, Daniel's true friend of God. In verse 16, he said, if you give me a little bit of time. He went home and called three of his good friends together to pray with him. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And here he comes back now. And God gave Daniel the dream and its interpretation. Notice now, as Daniel gives that to the prophet, or give it to the Nebuchadnezzar, notice his response in verse 27. Daniel said, Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? Cannot your spiritual advisors that you depend on, I'm reading behind the line, cannot they tell you what this dream is and the interpretation? And of course the answer would be no. But then notice the next few words. But there is a God in heaven. Say it with me. But there is a God in heaven. Say it again. There is a God in heaven. Say it again. But there is a God in heaven. It's important to understand there's a God in heaven. And whether we think he's got in charge or not, he's in charge. Whether we realize it or not, he's in control. Whether we realize it or not, things are running on schedule with God. Daniel said there's a God in heaven that reveal his secrets and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. As for thee, O king, the thoughts came into thy mind, unto thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealed his secret maketh known unto thee what shall come to pass. Now watch, he said, I'm going to tell you what the dream was and what the answer to the dream is. But I want you to know, he's already asked him where his soothsayers and all the other religious people were and his advisors were. But now he says in verse 30, but as for me, I want you to know, king, listen, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. He said, God is not, I'm not having this because I'm any wiser than any other men that you've got. I'm not giving this because of who I am, so to speak, as far as a human being so wise I have answers to everything. But for their sake, that shall make known the other interpretations of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. He said, God is doing this through me that you might know who I am. Talking about God. And you might know even the interpretations of your heart. I know what they are. I want to speak to you. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. We go through life and it gets tough at times. If you live long enough, you're going to weep a lot. If you live long enough, you're going to have heartache more. But I've got news to you. There's nothing in this world that you and I have to face alone. There's a God in heaven. I don't care what the atheists say. I don't care what the ungodly say. I don't care what the world says. There is a God in heaven. And he declares his self-preservation. And he's always available for you and I when we come to that time to trust him. There's a God in heaven when your heart is broken. There's a God in heaven when things are hard. There's a God in heaven when there's trouble. There's God in heaven when there's uprising inside the family. There's God in heaven. God's still on the throne. Now I want to give you six places that found that out and come to our day. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you find there's a man by the name of Moses. And here he has been led, chosen to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt. And he comes to the Red Sea. Israel was in bondage. And God looked at his people hurting. God looked at his people under bondage. God looked at his people who loved God, at least had come to the point to try to worship him the best they could in those situations. And there came a day, hear me, there came a day that God said through Moses, I've seen enough. My people are not going to suffer anymore by the hand of Pharaoh. I'm sending you down there to lead them out. And so, you know the story. After many trials and disappointments, they were allowed to leave Egypt by the hand of God. And before I go any further, I want you to know, the Bible says in the New Testament that many times God's people are treated like the filth of this earth by the ungodliness of this world. And I want you to know, God has promised us already. You don't have any word. He promised Israel this until he called Moses. But God has promised the church, in spite of what the world is looking at us as being, in spite of the hardships we have to go through, God has promised us there's coming a resurrection day. God has promised us that God in heaven, something is going to take place sometime in the near future. And one of these days, there's going to be a leaving of this place because God will say, that's enough that my people have been treated like they've been treated. And there's going to come forth a resurrection. Why? Because there is a God in heaven. And he keeps his word. He keeps his word. We come to the threshold of death. Death becomes a passageway for us to get into God's presence. Now the Red Sea is before Israel. Mountains on each side. Pharaoh's army is in the rear. The sea is wide. The mountains are high. Pharaoh is made as a mighty king comes from the rear. There's no way there's a sea before them. How in the world are they going to get through? They can't go right or left. They can't go forward. They're drowned. They can't go back or they'd be killed. It looked like an impossible situation. The sea is wide. The mountains are high. Pharaoh's a mighty king. But I don't care how high the mountains are. I don't care how big the sea is. I don't care how big the army of Pharaoh is. There's a God in heaven that's bigger. And he's not going to lead them out of Egypt to the Red Sea and let them drown but not get into the place he promised to go in the promised land. And I say to you, as you look at him going, Israel went over on dry ground just like God said he would, said they would. And then the Egyptian army came along. You know, the story just refers to in your ears. And they said, hey, we can do that too. They tried and they died. You can't do anything that God says do unless God's in it. God was in Israel, but he wasn't in Egypt. In the sense of sin in Egypt. It was not Egypt he promised the promised land. It was Israel he promised the promised land. And they went over on dry ground. Why? There's a God in heaven. Israel on the other side looks back and they see the Egyptians coming. And suddenly, where one side, when they entered in, here we find Moses been told to stand and cast his rod out. And he stands and he says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the ocean and the Red Sea open up. By the way, there was a wall on one side and a wall on the other side. This thing going around the day, seen a few weeks ago, no, it just, somehow or another, it got rerooted and it was just a little ankle thick, you know, just a little bit of water and they walked across and just got their feet wet. No, their feet did not get wet. It was dry ground. Amen. Say, preacher, why you say that? Because there's a God in heaven, he said it. Amen. How do you know that? I got it right here before me. When man wrote that book, are you a fool? This book is around a lot longer before any men. We know of right much that we see about God. Moses was here many years ago before Jesus came. And when Jesus was here, he quoted a lot of things that were said in the Old Testament. And by the way, this book has stood the test of trouble down through the years. You better believe this God in heaven keeps this book pure and preserves it, so any generation to the rapture takes place can read about him and know about him in that life, you see. Moses learned this at the Red Sea. He saw what had happened. And then suddenly Israel saw the God in heaven close the water in on the Egyptians. And they literally drowned. And always makes it funny to me to say we won't with just about ankle deep. Well, I'll tell you this. Men, chariots, and horses drown in ankle deep water. I mean, to me, either way, it's a miracle. But I'm glad to know I got enough food. You say, well, I don't think that could happen. That's right. There's a wall of water on each side. And they went across on dry ground. And I think that there's a God in heaven. Thank God there's a God in heaven. And I'll say to you, neighbor, ladies and gentlemen, when we are bound on every side, when the world seems to cave in on us because of our stand for the Lord, thank God we had 48 plus went out yesterday with us. And by the way, you want to come on the Saturday. We've got two more Saturdays. Deacons ought to be here. Teachers ought to be here. Sister teachers ought to be here. You ought to be here on that Saturday morning to encourage these bus workers and go out and see what they're having to face. And if you will, God will honor and bless you. You'll get a heart. It might be somebody sitting right here, right now, but say, God has touched my heart to take a bus and go in the air. We got a route for you already if you go. We'll get a bus if you're going to go. We're going to be somebody here this morning who will say, God, I've got to do something for you. I want to take a route myself and go out. If you go on this place and let God touch your heart, God will touch your heart about people who have needs that the church can reach out through the bus ministry and meet those needs. Moses learned this at the Red Sea. Bound on every side, not knowing which way to go, but we can remember there's a God in heaven who has promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I give you something? I'm going to even finish the message. Can I give you something? He didn't promise he'd be with you up to death and then pick you up on the other side. Did you hear what I said? He didn't say, I'll be with your son till you come to die, and then you're going to die, and then when you arrive on the other side, I'll be with you again. No! He'll be with us all the way! Amen. What do you mean, preacher? I mean not only up to death, but while you die, and then be there to take you through death. You won't even have to go through it by yourself, and deliver you on the other side. That's our God. How do you know that? There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. And I believe he wants us to see that. Then I move over about 900 years later from Moses' day, and I see in Daniel chapter down about 3, there's 3 fellows by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They learned this truth themselves. And you know the story, in the haste of time, they refused to bow down to a 95-foot statue. They said, we don't believe there's one God. And we're not going to make anything that even thinks like God, because God told us not to do that. They were bound and they were cast into fire, according to verse 23. And I love the way they talk, don't you? Don't you love the way they talk? So if I could be like them, I'd feel good too. You got to get in the fire before you see what this happened. You can't sit on the outside and look at it. You can't just gaze at it. You got to get in the fire. And that's where they were at. And here he said, when he talked about bowing down, they said, but you won't care for the answer to thee. You know the story, if it be so, God will, you know, he's able to deliver. If not, we're not going to bow down anyhow. It doesn't make any difference to us. If not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Why? There's a God in heaven. The fire only burnt off the bands and set them free in verse 23. Isn't that an amazing thing? Then you know, one likened to the Son of God, he said down in verse 25, he saw the fourth man, Nebuchadnezzar did. The fourth man. And I like that in verse 25. And he was obliged to say, he said, I see him loose. In verse 23, they were thrown in bound. But he says, when I looked in there, I saw him loose. Amen? You look in verse 23. Down about verse 25. They were loose. They came forth in verse 26. And notice, Nebuchadnezzar was obliged to say, there is a God in heaven. He goes on further and begins to talk about him and expound him of who he is and what he has done. As you look over in chapter 6, another time in Daniel, look at that in a few minutes. The fire only burnt off the bands. When it came time to be thrown into the fiery furnace of this time, Notice another thing. They didn't just heat it up. They heated it worse than it had ever been before. When I look down and I look at all these men coming out, it amazes me. Are these three men coming out? But he said he saw four men in there. I've looked all over these verses. I'll never find where the fourth man came out. Do you? And I can't think to myself recently, there's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a reason. Because that just won't for him. I've never been in fire literally. But I know what is to be in the fire furnace of suffering. I know what is to be in that element of affliction. I know what is to be at the door of death. I was there in 92. I know what it is when you get in, as we look at this fire, a fire of affliction. He's already there. He's there to help us and to deliver us. Remember, there's a God in heaven. He always delivers His people. When God allows His children to go into the furnace of affliction, He is always with them there. He never leaves us, forsakes us. What a wonderful promise. Then I move on down and I see in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel remembered also this truth in the den of lions. You know the story. Daniel refused to worship the king. They're going to make up, say, look, they're going to give a little time. They said, you know, this Daniel, he's just not following the religion of our day. And he's so strong in his God, we got to do more than the average. So I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's get the king to set aside a period of time. We got some princes and it's all together. You read the story. And we're going to set aside a period of time that the king himself is going to decree. No one can pray but to him. Because he's the one that answers. He's the God that answers prayer. And so they made a decree and the king signed it. And the Bible says in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he ran and hid and drew the shades and said, I won't pray no more. Hey, look, notice, God let us know. Daniel knew that the papers had been signed. Daniel knew that if he did what they said not do, he was going to end up in the den of lions. Daniel knew. Most Baptists would say, well, I don't know if it really means that much or not. It means a lot when God says do something and we don't. It means a lot when he says do something and we do. And here, Daniel, somebody said, well, he ought to pull the shades and just pray. No, he didn't do that. He opened the window and prayed towards Jerusalem. And that's what you see. He got on his knees towards Jerusalem in verse 10. And it says his knees three times a day and prayed and give God thanks as he did aforetime. He didn't slow down one bit. Down in Daniel's heart, he knew God was in heaven. And because of that, God sent a little message in the language of the lions. If you look in verse 22, you'll see that. And may I interpret that for you? You like to hear people talk in tongues. I'm going to interpret this for you. I won't say you. Some people do. I don't, because I don't think there's such a thing other than language. But I see this in verse 22. Nebuchadnezzar comes down and said, Daniel, are you all right? Are you safe? And Daniel said, yes. And I can see Nebuchadnezzar. How? There's a God in heaven. He said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, verse 22, chapter 6, and they have not hurt me. And as before him innocent, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I've done no harm. He said, it's like as if God said now to the lion, listen, I've got one of my choice vessels coming in here tonight. It's not of his choosing. But he's one of my servants, and he's coming to this den of lions where you're at. And I want him to get some rest tonight. He can't get it in the world. They're throwing him in the den of lions. I want him to get some rest. You be nice to him. It's better, as a matter of fact, why don't you just be a pillar for him? And here he comes and lays down. And God says to the lion, don't do him no harm. That's the protecting hand of God. By the way, there's not another person could have spent a night in that den of lies like that. Daniel, you all right? Yeah, king, I'm doing fine. What happened? There's a God in heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, the king declared it too, if you look a little bit further, verse 26. He comes along and he says, I make a decree, this is the king, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Nebuchadnezzar says, Daniel, there is a God in heaven. Some of us need to know that. Some of us need to realize that God's not a toy we play with. He don't jump around when we speak to him and command him. He don't have to. Thank God he listens to us. Thank God he gave us a channel how we approach him and how we're to do things. And he's written it down in his word. And when we meet that criteria, God is honored and he honors us for that, you see. Then I see, Daniel remembered this, that there's a God in heaven. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar to start with, he declared this, Moses declared it, the three Hebrew children declared it, Daniel declared it again, and this time Nebuchadnezzar declared it. Then I move over to the New Testament and I see in Acts chapter 12, I see Peter declaring it. Peter learned this lesson in Acts chapter 12. You know how the story goes. As you see it develop, Herod King James with the sword. Then he arrested Peter after seeing it displeased the people. And because it was unleavened bread, he locked him up to be executed the next day. Herod said, I've got him now. The Jews said, we've got him now. But the thing about it is, they didn't know there's a God in heaven. And God says, you just think you got it. Read the story. It's amazing, isn't it? One of the first automated working doors is found here. Sears and Roebuck didn't come up with it. One of the first times you find the doors just open automatically. Isn't that wonderful? That's how our God is. And hear how God brought him out of that situation. The church in Jerusalem was praying for Peter. Herod may persecute the preacher. He may kill James. He may put Peter in prison, but remember, there's a God in heaven. And God's plan and purpose will take place. Peter was set free in Acts 12, verse 17, 7 through 11. And you move over a little bit further, and you'll find within certainly less than 2 years later, they had a big ado in verse 20 through 25 for Herod. Peter had been set free. And now Herod, all the people want to build him up. I mean, after all, he'd helped a lot of them financially in some other ways. And they wanted to have a big day for him, verse 21, to set a day. And look back and you see the Tyre and Sidon and the Chin Chamber. They did just a tremendous thing of trying to give him a royal apparel, a royal day in verse 21. And when he gave his speech, they cried out in verse 22. And people gave a shout, said, it is the voice of God and not of man. And the Bible says, immediately. Sometimes God moves fast, doesn't he? See, he denies a God in heaven. And the Bible says, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He died thinking to be God. Peter learned this. And at this particular time, he saw the God in heaven working. Herod learned there was a God in heaven, but it's too late. And sad thing to say, if you're here this morning, you're not saying, those listening by radio in just a few minutes, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to meet this God in heaven, but it's going to be too late. There is no second chances beyond that. Keep in mind, there's a God in heaven. And when I come to our case, remember at the time of sorrow and suffering and trials, when we're in this life, there's a God in heaven. We say that God is with us all the time. Yes. Yes, he is. But there's some times we don't pay tribute to that as much as we should. But surely he's close to us when we have sorrow and trouble comes. People say, if that happened to me, I don't know if I could stand it. And yet I've seen some people have that very thing they said it happened to me happen. And they could stand it. Why? Because there's a God in heaven. And he keeps his word. Someone said that God has given us 125 comforting texts in the Bible. I don't know if there's 125 or not, but I know this. Every time he makes a promise, that promise is sure. And we can claim that. and Daniel and Moses and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Peter all realized and saw this God in heaven at work. And I leave with you this thought. You say, how does that help me, preacher? That's something that happened years ago. God has let us see that to learn today. God helps us remember that there is a God in heaven at the end of our way. Your attitude towards illness denies Christ or honors Him and brings Him glory. Death will come one of these days if Christ does not come back soon. And it will engulf every last one of us in here if the Lord don't come back. And I want you to know, you cannot lock the door and keep it out. You say, but we can postpone it. Not if God calls you, can't. He allows man's average age to be increased a little bit. But that don't mean nothing in God. He let the first generation of Adam live almost 1,000 years. And then sin began to take its toll. Now we're getting back to biblical times. But the door is still locked. Oh, you can't lock it. Only God can lock it and God can open it. And therefore, you can't lock and keep the door, keep death out. One day the time will come and Satan said, I'm going to take him. And God may say no that time. Next time, he may say, I'm going to take him. And God say, no, you're not. I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him. I'm going to take her. Why? There's a God in heaven. His Son gave His life for us. That when that day comes, we might be ushered into the portals of glory. Oh, if Christ is in you, you need not fear the death angel. For Christ will carry you through and safely take you home. Paul was led to the chopping block. And this week I thought in my mind, I love to do that, the silhouettes running through my mind as I study Scripture. And I see Paul now being laid over the chopping block. The guy with his hood on his head, with an axe that's bigger than Paul almost, and he raises it up. And I hear Paul maybe quoting words that he had written in 2 Timothy 1:12 when he says, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that my Savior liveth. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And in the time of death, Paul is rejoicing because there's a God in heaven. The man thinks who he's doing his job. Those who condemned him to death thinks that's it. We get rid of him. Good riddance. That's it. And Paul says, no, there's a God in heaven. You will face this again. His head falls off the block. His spirit and soul goes to be with the Father. Just like Paul said. Isn't this wonderful? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no fear there. God may not promise us a comfortable journey along the way, but He does promise a safe landing. He does promise that. And I said, God, I want to thank You for what You've done. In my heart and all these voices and all this mess that you've seen going on in this world today, in my heart, God has given me the assurance of His existence. I look at this universe and know there's someone bigger than I. As an ant will look to this world and know there's someone bigger than them. And as I look and know there's one bigger than I'm so glad that that one who I'm looking to know because of what I see has revealed Himself in what He calls His Word. He's kept it intact down through the years. And I thank God that I know there's a God in heaven, and I also know, and I leave with you this morning, that Jesus Christ is our path to Him. Amen. And that's the only path that's available. And I don't care who they are, how smart they are, how dumb they are. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There's a God in heaven. And He's told us how to get to Him. He sent His Son as God in the flesh. He says, analyze in the Gospels who He is, Jesus Christ. And in Him see God in the flesh. And see how much I love you. See Him die. See the Gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection. And understand, I sent the Holy Spirit on that 50th day to come back and tell this message about what we have done as the Godhead for humanity. I've shown you what we have done. Let you know, you were born in my image. I created you through procreation from Adam in my image. That image has been marred. But I made a way that image can be brought back to a place that I can accept. Be sure you know there's a God in heaven. And I made a way that you can approach me. No matter how bad you are, how worse you are, how big a sinner you are, I made a way you can approach me. Keep in mind there's a God in heaven. And I made a way you can approach me. And the path to me is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I say, that is God says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Stand to your feet, please. Our Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the study of this wonderful message. The realization of who God really is and where He's at, and how He reigns by His Spirit to dwell within our hearts, to reveal these wonderful truths from this book, God's holy word, about a holy God and what He's done for us. My Father, help your people here today. God, please, please help us bring you to these people and those we have a chance in our lifetime to see God more than just a puppet on a string. Satan is a mastermind of deception. It makes people think it don't matter how they live, how they dress, what they do, where they go. It don't make a bit of difference because God is so loving. They don't see that God is a righteous, holy God. He requireth righteousness. And man can't give it to him. So he had to establish it for himself in his Son and offers to man. And once the person gets that righteousness imputed to us, make us a candidate from heaven. As Brother Keith said, it will cause us to live different. Because now we're not just man on earth. We're Christians. We're part of the body of Christ. We're children of God who is in heaven. Manifest into this world, the unseen world, the way we act, the way we talk, the things we do, this side of eternity. Lord, please help someone today to seek Jesus as Savior. Please let them see that we don't talk about the Bible, we talk from the Bible so they can hear the voice of God. Let them see, Lord, this morning with someone here to be glad to take them to a prayer room and go through the Scripture, show them the plan of salvation. There's a formula for things in this life. We work with formulas. There's a formula in the Word of God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's pretty positive. Help us get the message out. Help us love people. Help us have compassion. Lord, we may preach with sternness. We may preach with authority because you give us that. But dear God, our heart is broken. And we have compassion on people who don't know Christ as Savior. It's not that we're better than they. It's just, Lord, you love us all so much. And so many spurn that love. I'm no different than anyone else when I walk out of this pulpit, just a sinner saved by God's grace. Believe the record of God gave you His Son. Claim the promise what God's done. And now trying to tell others to see that wonderful story about this God who is in heaven. Have your way today. Honor yourself through the message. And may, as Daniel said, it's not because I'm any wiser than anyone else you call me. Lord knows. I'm pretty dumb compared to some people intellectually. But I, like Paul, I believe what I'm saying is truth. And that gives me advantage. That gives me a power that God has promised. Because without that, I could not proclaim it. Now I leave it to you. You said your word not return unto you void. Either here or later by tape or radio. May we see some tremendous things take place. Because someone all of a sudden stopped in their track and said, you know, there's a God in heaven. I need to listen to Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.